Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Praise the Lord forevermore. God is good. Every Christian will experience hardship. Must experience hardship. Glory to God. There is a reason that God is calling on disciples. We are called to raise disciples, not just church members, not just churchgoers. Amen? The truth is that churchgoers can afford to say, oh, I'm not feeling like it today. I mean, I had a bad week. I won't be in church on Sunday. Amen? A churchgoer can afford to say, oh, the trouble I've faced this week, I think I need a break. And I need a break is a break from God, a break from prayer, a break from the study of God's word. I need a break. So what am I going to now be doing? Eat, watch some movies, sleep, just with some friends, and scroll on social media. I'm taking a break. Come on, do I have witnesses now? So people do that. But you see, after you have taken the break, trouble is still waiting. Amen. After you are done with the break, oh no, you're not going to step into the break. No, the trouble will not be wiped away. It's still there. Like I said, there's a reason why we are called to raise disciples. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Please choose to be a disciple, not church members. Take a look, when we take a look at the disciples of Jesus, they were not people who were just happy running around Jesus and, you know, wow, what a Jesus we have. Even while they were with Jesus, the attacks that come to Jesus, they don't push them away. They were there. And even when Jesus had ascended, these people did not have a cruise life because they had stayed with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They had eaten and drank of his spirit, of his life. But I'm saying to you, no, they still encountered challenges that words can't even explain clearly. They still died in ways that you can't even begin to imagine. And you know what? They were excited about being flogged for the gospel. It's something that I want us to really think about, that a person is saying, you know, a person was in prison and they were brought out and flogged and said, okay, you can go. Ah, testimony on Sunday. Where is service manager? Who is serving? I have a testimony on Sunday. Hey, okay, what's it? You know, tell Pastor again, what's that? You don't know what happened. These people caught me when I was preaching the gospel and they flogged me. They flogged me. But what we say is, like you'll be waiting for the testimony. Okay, maybe after they flogged you, the king was not entering. He was not paying you. Somehow, angel now was lying on your back. The king was... No, blood was coming out of their backs. They felt the pain. They felt it. But it was testimony worthy. It was testimony. It was worth dancing and singing about. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. You know how we say, Paul and Silas... After praying, after singing, they were in prison. They were in prison. They were in prison. They were in chains. They were in chains. So I'm looking at it. So why would a man in chains pray and be singing praises to God? And be singing worship to God. Why? What is joyful about being in prison? Praise God. I'm not even in prison, but there are things that will happen and you don't feel like saying thank you, Jesus. I mean, think about it now. Clara, manager. Thank you, Jesus. Clara, manager. Let's come out from the thank you, Jesus first. Lord, make it make sense. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. A gets the promotion and B is wondering, why not me? Amen. Praise God forevermore. Don't let that distract you. Glory to God. So they were there singing and praising the Lord. It didn't matter that we're in chains. There's no difference. Apostle Paul, half the letters he wrote in prison. It didn't matter whether I'm in prison, I'm outside the prison. What matters is that my life is for the Lord. You see, we're the ones that define it as hardship. As far as they were concerned, it's part of life. It's what we have to do because we believe. You don't like us, no problem. But we are going to stand for what we believe. Praise God forevermore. We are going to stand firm for what we believe. And in Corinthians, Apostle Paul will begin to list out the things that he had been through. No, he wasn't saying it for you to feel sorry for him. It's so that you can be strengthened. That no matter what you go through, you've not experienced half of what I experienced. And I'm still telling you to rejoice. I'm still saying to you, rejoice. See, if we don't come to understand who we actually call Lord, we will take the good and leave the bad. Pick and choose when is, oh, thank you for the promotion. Wow, what a good God we serve. But when I've not gotten answers to the prayer, when the child is yet to come, when the money is yet to come, when the rent is yet to be paid, when that expectation is yet to be met, I'm all sober. I'm all feeling down. Do you know that, do you remember, I'm sure you know, that John the Beloved banished to the island of Patmos. He wasn't there on vacation. It wasn't because, oh, where would I go now and rest? I mean, everybody's dead. It's only me. He was actually banished there. Now you turn around and you can see your friends and families. You can call them on the phone. No, he had nobody, you know, was there. But you see, even there, it didn't matter. You didn't take this presence from me. You didn't take God from me. So I can endure. I can stay here. And it didn't matter. When you read Revelation chapter 4 and you see how that... I think we should just go there, really. Revelation chapter 4. And he said, after these things I looked and behold. That is, after these things, the letter that he had received to the churches, okay? It says, after these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. The doors of heaven were not shut to a man that is going through the trials of life. So the doors of heaven, you know how he say it's like it's closed heaven. No, the doors of heaven are not shut against you because you're going through trials. I said the doors, the windows of heaven are not shut against you because you're going through things. I shared a picture of gold with Isaac. I don't know if you can share that. If it's gold in its raw state, it's still gold. But if I gave you that, you wouldn't know what to do with it. It's just looking like a rock. Just any other stone with shiny spots. Pretty much how we look. But you see, gold is in there. Gold is in that stone that looks like rubbish you can throw away. Sometimes you look at your life and it seems like there's nothing good going on in your life. It seems like the world is crumbling down against you. Every expectation is crashing down. I'm saying all of that is to the end that gold be pressed out. How? Fire. So when I go to buy a gold and they say, oh, this one is 500,000, this one is 200,000, this one is this amount of money, you will know that when in this raw state, it may not worth that much. Like I always like to say, imagine this gold, the refiner taking it through the fire and he's screaming, no, Lord, you can't do this to me. Why me? Imagine gold saying, why me? Why me? Why me? Just let me be. I was fine before I entered this fire. What did I do? I pray every day. I read my Bible. What's going on? But what would the refiner say? The refiner is the one that knows the end of your life from the beginning. He's the one that sees you in your raw state and knows how much he has deposited on your inside that he wants out. So if it means that you're going to go through that trial for 10 years, you're going to go there. You'll be there till it's out. Till it's out. Now, I'm even saying when there's something you are done. These people, the disciples, it was for nothing. As far as they were concerned, it's just that we love Jesus. We love God. It's not like, I know that. I'll just be waiting. It will come. Even if he didn't come, we are here. Even if it never happens, we're not turning away from the Lord Christ. Thank you, Isaac. Can you just get it back to 2 Timothy? You know, there's someone shared something and it really blessed me. When you read the story of the parable in Matthew chapter 20, how that the master had gone out to get some servants, amen, to work for him. You know, you go out in the morning. So he went out in the first watch, found some people who were there, got them. So he'll come, you know, took the ones he wanted. And when they came back at some other watch, saw another, people are still here. He took them. Till the last watch, people were still there. So the amazing thing, I started to think about it. Why did they not go back home? Why did they not go back home? Praise the Lord. They just kept hoping, believing that somebody, peradventure, somebody will come and carry us. It's what the Bible called hope against all hope. So a man who has a family knows that his family is waiting on him to bring something home. It's getting late at night. You are still out there waiting that somebody, believing that somebody will come and pick you up and pay you. Now you are seated there seeing others being called. And you know, I know I need this job more than this person. But you are enduring there until the time when you are called. Just believing that they didn't even know they were going to be called eventually. It's like Zacharias and Elizabeth. The Bible will tell us that they just kept serving the Lord faithfully. Bible says he found them blameless. They had a need. They were believing the Lord for a child. And they were getting old. Amen. But you see, when the angel came to Zacharias, what did he say to him? He said, your prayers have been answered. Your prayers have been answered. Listen to this. Because he had unbelief, right? That, you know, he expressed it. How can this thing be? But he was praying. They kept believing that, well, God is good. He can do this. That they didn't take that away. Now, at this point, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I mean, we're old. But the point is that he says, your prayer has been answered. So we kept praying, even though we don't see how it's going to happen. Even though we don't know how it's going to happen, we kept believing. We kept waiting. Why? If people have understood, the idea is this. Coming to a point where, whether he does it or not, we die believing. Amen. We know he would do it. But whether he does it or not, we don't care. Whether the situation changes or not, we are enduring till the end. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws against us, we will wait it out. We stay. See here. People of God, you know, we judge our lives by the span of our living here. You know, can say, at least live 100 years. Let me use that as an example. But God judges our life beyond here. God relates with us basically beyond here. What I'm saying is that he will be telling Abraham about his descendants, telling him how that his descendants will be in captivity for 400 years. Now, he was talking to a man who is already going. So no, he's not going to experience any of those things. So, but your life, I'm still talking to Abraham. This is your life I'm talking about. And I'm talking about 400 years. So sometimes you just go, our life. No, see, your life here, let me show you something that happened to me. This, I'm going to share it. I think it's time. It's my heart to share it, so let me share it. Proverbs 21. So, when Pastor was in South Africa, and I was praying, it was a tough time, but we were praying. All of us, I believe, were praying. So one day, the Lord gave me a scripture in Proverbs 21 verse, from verse 1, and I said to read it. Just listen to what I'm reading, okay? Remember what I said? Pastor was where? In South Africa. So the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines... No. Psalm 21. How the king... Proverbs 21 in NLT, please. How the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. He shouts with joy because you give him what? Victory. Psalms 21, please. Thank you. He shouts with joy because you give him victory. Remember, I'm praying and I'm waiting and I'm trusting the Lord for an answer. All right? And then the Lord gives me the scripture and I read it. It says, for you have given him his heart's desire. You have withheld nothing he requested. Is it looking like prayer answered? Is it looking like an answer I'm expecting? All right. The verse 3 says, you welcome him back with success and prosperity. You placed a crown of finest gold on his head. He asked you to preserve his life and you granted his request. The days of his life stretch on forever. Your victory brings him great honor. Listen to that. He asked you to preserve his life and you granted his request. He says what? The days of his life does what? Stretch on forever. Your victory brings him great honor and you have clothed him with splendor and majesty. You have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. See, I was so joyful that, see answer now. I said, Pastor is coming back. And then the thing that will follow when he comes back. So that's where I was standing. Do you understand? Now God said, you welcomed him. He's coming back. We are going to welcome him back. So when he came back, I said, Lord, you are welcoming him back. Oh yeah, let's begin to look for the other things that will follow. Which is what? You crowned him with success. Now you crowned him with prosperity. So I mean, that was my heart posture. Well, you know, that was not what God was talking about. So at the fullness of time when Pastor left, I said, no, now. I was very, Lord, I know what you said. He said, go and read it again. So I went back to scripture. And then, no, it didn't mean what it meant before to me anymore. You clothed him with splendor and majesty. You put a crown of finest gold on his head. Where will you get that finest gold on earth here? You gave him the joy of your presence. He said his life stretches forever. You are the one counting 80 years. You are the one counting 100 years. But he said his life stretches forever. You are the one saying he's 30, he's 40. His years, his life stretches forever. So yeah, I welcomed him back. Your life doesn't end here. God does. You are the one thinking the now. He's thinking beyond you. Your children's children. So I imagine Abraham, you know, just looking at, oh, yeah, I know when he saw his children going into captivity. Well, I knew what's going to happen. I imagine him just not bothered about it because he knew what's going to happen. And God was saying to me, every promise I made to him will come to pass. Will come to pass. See, if we understand this, if we understand that our life doesn't end here, that there's no end to our lives, really, right? You will go all out in your service to God. You go all out in your walk with God. You won't care what happens to you. It won't matter whether that prayer ever gets answered. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Apostle John, who will call himself the one who Jesus loves, who will call, I'm the most loved of Jesus, will still have to be banished to the island of Patmos, where he faced all manner of trials there. However, he was still in tune with God. When you read that Revelation chapter 4 I'm talking about, he was trying to explain the things he was seeing. He said, there's a throne. There is a God on the throne. He was trying to explain. He said, this one is like this. This one is like that. He was trying to give words to the things he was seeing. Can this thing go off, please? He was trying to put words, give words to the things he's saying, the things he's seeing. He couldn't quite give words. It looks like this. Hallelujah. But one thing he didn't say looked like anything is that there's a throne. There's a God on the throne. Are you with me? There's a throne and there's a God seated on the throne. More than that, he lives forevermore. He will say, and the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In a situation where a man is in trouble, in a situation where a man is not in the best time of his life, he will say, worthy is the Lamb who sits upon the throne. He will say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's not complaining. He's not whining. He's not wondering why me. He said, worthy are you, O Lord, even though I'm in confinement. Even though I'm separated from my loved ones. Holy are you, O God. Worthy is the Lamb that sits upon the throne. Why? Because nothing else matters but God. When you understand his fatherhood, when you understand his being the almighty, the all-sufficient, the one through whom we live, we move, and have our being, then it doesn't matter anything. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I'm saying to you, people of God, Jesus has already said to us clearly that in this world we'll have tribulations. In this world, things we didn't expect, can't explain, will come against us. But you see, you must stand for Jesus everywhere. It doesn't matter if you'll be fired and you're going to pay rent the very next month. You will stand firm and say, worthy is the Lamb that sits upon the throne. To him be all glory, all power, all blessings. You will say that. That is why we are raising disciples. People of God, disciples are people who, in whether, you know how NYC was saying, under the sun and... That is it. There are people that were not in church today because there were showers in the morning. I was saying to somebody that today is If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, stay. Because it will shower, it will just give. I'm trying to stop, and it will start again. I say, if you make up your mind to come, come. If you don't make up your mind, hallelujah. So whether it's rain or it's, see, make up your mind to stand and stand firm. Listen, because things that will shake you will come. We don't get ready for them, but I'm getting you ready for it right now. The Lord is getting you ready. He's telling you that things that will shake you will come. Oh, nobody saw 2 years ago in this church. Nobody saw it. But it will come. But the thing is that whether you walk through fire, whether you walk through the sea, he says, I'm with you. Whether you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm walking in with you. But you're going to walk it. See, you know, problems is not, you know, when sometimes it feels like Christians are, why me? But these are things that tough, hard knots that the world crack every day. Whether you believe, you don't believe. Rain falls on the believer and the unbeliever. Amen? So sometimes I'm wondering how people go through life without Jesus. But what I'm even saying that is more is that people who are Christians, who are going through stuff, how come do we go through it as people who don't know God? I hope you know that Zacharias could have had that child earlier. But no, he wouldn't. Because he had to give birth to John the Baptist. And until the fullness of time, when Jesus was ready to come, I'm not going to give birth to any other thing. So just keep praying, you know. Stay with me. So that at the fullness of time, when I come, I'll find faith. Are you hearing me? So when I come, now Jesus is ready to come. I have come, oh. Will I find faith? Or have you given up? So stay, just stay with me. I am the potter. You are the clay. Align with me. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Keep at it. I've shared this story once here during the time of Emperor Nero, and they were killing Christians, and they took this set of friends and imprisoned them. One was pregnant. So they were going to kill the rest of them. And, you know, that one said, how will you people die? And I'll still be here. I want to die with you people. He said, please, let's pray, because they're not going to kill a pregnant woman. So they were going to wait when she has a child. They will not kill her. And do you know what she said? Let's pray so that we'll have this child. So we'll not die together. We're not praying that God will save us from Emperor Nero. We're not praying that we will not die. What I'm just saying that I'm praying that I will die with you. And they prayed, and he answered. She went into labor, had the child, so she was ready to go with her friends. Yes, they killed them, no? You know, sometimes testimony seems like when it ends in what we call good, what we call exciting. Testimony is that I stood in faith. I went through it, my faith unwavering. So that one will come before the Father, my faith. So it's not that, you went through it for 20 years. It's that at the fullness of time, I came out with a testament of my faith. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, and you see, by faith, this one died. By faith, he gave his life. By faith, men died. People of God, we must learn to endure hardship. Yes. We must learn to endure hardship as long as the gospel is concerned. So it doesn't matter if I never got married. But I'm not going to compromise my faith. It doesn't matter if I never got the job. I'm going to sleep with no boss. It doesn't matter if you fired me. endure hardship. Have sense is not an advice for a Christian. You hear what I said? Have sense. Don't you have sense? Now think now. Have sense. That's deception. That's a way to start telling you. Just, you know that thing you are doing. Leave it first. Start thinking. You were not thinking before. Glory to God. Nobody promised us it was going to be a smooth ride. But see what the Bible says. Put up Romans chapter 8. I think from verse 35. Put that up for me, please. Romans 8:35. Nobody promised it was going to be easy. Jesus never did that. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? He says, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted? Or hungry? Or destitute? Or in danger? Or threatened with death? Does it mean he no longer loves us when we encounter life's challenges? So he tells you that God's love for you is dependent of anything you experience on earth. His love is constant, whether you live or die. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Sometimes when people don't have money in their pocket, it feels like the end of the world. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Let's come to that point of resting in him. Think about these people I'm gisting you about. These disciples, was money their problem? I'm asking you, was money their problem? Didn't they have families? Did they have children? I mean, were they not hungry? Didn't they need to eat? But you see, something matters more than this flesh. There is something that matters more than this flesh. The flesh doesn't want to endure any hardship. I mean, I started to think about it and I realized that the flesh doesn't even like this body. Did you hear what I said? The flesh doesn't like the body. That's the confusion I want to create too. But I'm saying the body doesn't like the body. The flesh doesn't like the flesh. You know what to say again. Okay, don't mind me. See what I'm saying? The Bible teaches that the flesh is always against what I'm just saying. I wanted to make a joke first. But what I'm saying is actually very correct. When somebody is addicted with something, let's even say food. When somebody's gluten, of what good is more food, as excess food to the body? No good, right? So when somebody is addicted to drinking, every time you are swallowing all manner of alcohol, even the sachet ones, give me this. Of what good is it to the body? So what tells you to drink it? Is what? But you get my point. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that it doesn't even, what is advising you to do that seems like pleasure is not even for the good of your life. Do you understand? Even the advice or that thing that is drawing you to those pleasures, it doesn't mean well for your body. So when he says just be sleep, you know, when poverty comes and you're hungry, is it not the body that will be feeling hungry? You understand? So when he's telling you don't make sure you don't exercise, just be swallowing apple by, just make sure you don't move your body at all. When you are dealing with, you know, weight related challenges, health challenges, who suffers it? So he won't even give you an advice that will benefit your body. He won't let you strive for things. Let it be that, let it be body friendly. No, it isn't. So if that's the case, why are we even indulging it in the first place? Because even this body does not like it. Amen. Did I clear the confusion? I hope we're no more. You understand my point now. Who wants you to do the things? Even this body. Praise God forevermore. Endure hardship. Look at our Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Everything that pertained to the miracle, the ministry of Jesus, everything that pertained to his life was trials, was that is his fulfillment or the fulfilling his ministry was not rice and beans. You know how the Bible will say the kingdom of God is not what? No, his ministry, birthing that kingdom and bringing it to us was not suya and kilishi. Hallelujah. And is Jesus the Son of God? Every day he woke up, there's abundant challenge. Every day he woke up, people were against his life. Every day he woke up. Every day. You can wake up and just say that, I'm not going anywhere today. Whether you go anywhere, you don't go. Were they not coming to meet him where he was? We have a question for you today. Son of God, don't worry. Whether you want to go, every day he woke up, there's a new challenge. Every day. And then he took that walk to Golgotha. The most painful thing anybody can go through in this life. Dying for people. Now, I'm not even talking about the pain alone. You are looking at the people you are dying for, nailing your hands. And you know you can run away from it. You know you can actually run away. I beg, I'll not do it again. And then you say, no. For this purpose, do you understand? This is why I came. There are things written in the volume of the books concerning you, and they are not sweet things. Did you hear what I said? It was written of Jesus. He will say, let's be doing it because that it might be fulfilled what is written. So my life is the fulfillment of prophecy. So I can't dodge it. There are things you have to go through. It is written. You don't know it, but it is written. You have to go through it. So that in the next 10 years, you will look back and say, was that why I was going through all of these life challenges? Somehow we feel that it is written in the volume of the books. It is written that, you know, juice will be falling from heaven. You open your mouth and be drinking it. Juice will be falling, you know. Rose will be falling, you know. It will be coming with his thorns. Everything is to the end that we do the will of God. It's not that we'll be comfortable. The life we're living here is not to the end that we'll be comfortable. It's that we do the will of the Father. So however you'll be panel-beated into the will, he's willing. The Father is more concerned about the purity of our faith. You know, the purity of our heart, our faith, than giving you the next 1 million. Amen. We must learn to endure things because we know this, our life is in God's hand. Let me make that emphasis. See, your life in the hand of the Lord is in the hand of the Lord. There's no enemy that can snatch you out of his hands. So you can be going through stuff to the point of death. Be sure, know that your life is sitting in the hand of the Lord. And even through that trial, that you're fulfilling something that is written. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why James will say, count it all joy when you do what? Go through countless, diverse, because it will come through all shapes and sizes. All manner of shapes and sizes. It will come. But say, count it all joy. You can only count it all joy when you understand the faithfulness of God. When you know he will never leave your soul in Sheol. Praise God forevermore. So life is never without troubles. So as Christians, even let me say, it's more for a Christian. Because Andromache could say it this way, The Christian walks with a target on you, you know, as though he has a target on your back. People that are not Christians, they're going through normal life challenges. Satan, they're on Satan's side. But you that is God's child, you people are on opposing direction. You people are, do you get? You are, he's coming, you people are, you are not friends. Glory to God. So it's only disciples who can endure hardship. Only disciples. Not children, disciples. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Be open to the workings of God. He says, the one I love, I do what? I chastise. The fruit that is, the tree that is bringing forth fruit is the one that is being pruned for what? More fruit. That tree has to endure that pruning. So we all desire more fruits, but we all don't desire more pruning. Amen? I mean, you can pray. Let me tell you how God answers. Lord, I want to be more productive. That annoying parent who may even pull their child out, but will bring you 5 more families. Maybe the best giver around you, the one that is always giving you. You just, you know, lost little quarrel, and I mean, everybody turns back. It's called the death of Isaac. Remember, you are praying, Lord, I want to be more productive. I want to have more. I want to increase me on all sides. Increase me on all sides. It will look like resign from your job, go to anywhere and begin a church. Are you still with me? And it's an answer. Amen. God's pruning, eh? No, it will not come how you, you know, when you say, Lord, I want to be more fruitful, more fruitful. And you now start being more fruitful. Now, your body will tell you. Praise God forevermore. Job had times two what he had, but not without the death first. Not without the death first. His wife said to him, curse God and die. That's the magnitude of what he was going through. I mean, what are you living for? It's over. Curse God and die. And no, a man couldn't. So let me try to tie it up here. This is not even a, it's not a day message, but we thank the Lord that we have today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just heard in my heart, you are saying, that one doesn't concern me, my own is soft life. Lord, just soft life, Lord. There is nothing soft about the Christian faith. Swallow it and make peace with it. Amen? When we say we want soft life, it's like David saying, I was feeling somehow when I see the unrighteous flourish. When I see the ungodly flourishing. I was wondering, why? Why am I going through stuff? And the unrighteous, they are just flourishing. So when you're saying, I just want some, you are, there's a yasty, there's something you are seeing that you are calling soft life. And I'm telling you, the only life that you can ever live as a Christian is Jesus' life. Jesus did not even live soft life. And you know what? There's nothing soft about a life of purpose. If you're going to fulfill purpose, there's nothing soft about it. It's a bumpy road. Even if you want to just run your business, your life goal is to run a company. Start a company and run it. Will you do like this and the company will start selling 10 million revenue, 20 million? No! Sweat and blood, you will sweat it. There is nothing of purpose that is soft. So when we're just not soft, like I don't want to do anything. Let money be raining from heaven. Pepepe, upe. Amen. Enjoy it. Bible says there's no discipline that is sweet. No discipline is sweet. Nothing, no training is sweet. We are celebrating Arsenal. Amen. How many years? 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 But you know, every year they'll buy players.
they'll get a coach. They'll be training. When they're not playing, when you're not seeing them on your screen, they are training. Years upon years. No, they were not having an easy ride. People were, every time there's that, it was, people were talking. Mockery. I know what, the next year they'll still show up. 10 years, they still showed up. Why? Believing is going to happen. 20 years old. So what if they didn't show up this year? What if, we've tried. Let's just face Champions League. You can't even do Champions League without PB. Let's face any other thing. I don't know what to face. I don't know. Let's pack up. Let's sell the club. Call it something else. Maybe it will start to prosper. And many of the club itself is not a Christian club. And they waited. Stayed on it. They stayed. They kept showing up. Usually it's believers that pack up too soon. Enjoy it. Have the mindset that whatever happens, every day I will show up. In your business, show up. You didn't sell yesterday, show up. You have written 10 proposals. None has been approved. Show up. Write the next one. You have been writing for grants. It has not worked. Write another one. Don't give up. At the end of the day, all of that are stories that will be told. How we fought and we won. Remember, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. So you stand and stand firm, knowing that we are already victorious. The ECT was singing earlier, of course, that we are more than conquerors. That's who you are. You are more than conquerors. So that's an end. You've known the end. Even in the midst of the storm, you've known the end. So do what? Endure the process, knowing that where I am going is the more than conquerors. That's who I am. So let it be poking me left, right, and center. I am more than conquerors. The thing you will contend for is your faith. Satan, I know is my faith you're after. It will stay shining. I will endure anything. Anything. Say it. I will endure anything. I will endure anything. You're a believer. Good news, you have the Holy Ghost. He didn't leave you alone. God didn't leave you alone. He didn't leave you to deal with life all by yourself. In fact, the reason why that annoying client has to come to you is because it's only you that has been equipped and graced to deal with that client. If you get that, his job done. It's only you that can serve him with the love of Jesus. So endure his yaga yaga and do the work God has called you to do in his life. You're praying for somebody. The person is the one that is not the weapon formed against you. It's because there's nobody praying for that person. You are the only one that can pray for that person. God has put it in your heart to pray for that person. Endure all the things the person is doing and keep at it while you're on an assignment. The only reason these disciples can just stand firm and keep at it is because we're on an assignment. We have seen the life of God. We have touched him. Where will we go from here? Will you turn away from adversity to what? Into what? When you turn away from the hardship, into what? Are you dodging the trouble because you are sure that you are going to not enter where? Comfort. The truth is, if you don't look at that trouble and conquer it, then your turn is a bigger problem. You are turning into a worse situation. Imagine that Abraham didn't want to lay down his son. It seems like the worst thing you can ask a man. Imagine he didn't want to lay it down. Every other thing was hinging on that. Praise God. Imagine that Jesus turned away when they just hit one, bah, hey, I didn't know. Please. Angels, we're done. Imagine that. I thought we were still joking. We are now here. You know, when the reality dawned on him, that is really happening. Like, he just, I beg. So that, I'm just trying to paint the picture. When you turn away, there are people you could have seen. It is you God is preparing to say to them, I went through fire, I came out of it. You too can. Remember this testimony. If I give up now, what will I say? What will I testify? Do you hear? If I give up, what will be my testimony? When I'm sharing this testimony now, what will I say? That I gave up. Hi. You know, sweet. I've been now, you know, sweet. How can you say you gave up? So what should we now do? No, it's no sweet. So let's stay. Jesus is helping us. He's helping us. We are being helped of God. We are backed by God. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We are going to stay with Jesus. Our life does not end here. It doesn't matter the darts of Satan. We keep moving. We keep pushing. You don't want to hear the gospel? I will preach it again to you. I will say it again to you. I will love you even if you are unlovable. At the end of the day, it's not about you. It's that Jesus has sent me on this assignment. So we say when he sends you, he makes provisions. Those provisions are also to help you deal with challenges that will come with the calling. Because imagine provisions to be the, you know, all the, we need to buy land, there's money you buy. You need to eat, there's money you eat. Is that suddenly somebody will pull away? Thank you, Lord. Our lives don't end here. That's the greatest joy. See, two things I want you to note. If you understand it, every time you have disappointment, you know what the Bible calls sacrifice of praise. You know why it's called sacrifice? Say sacrifice of praise. Tap somebody, say sacrifice of praise. You want to sew that phone here? You want to sew phone as a seed? Sacrifice of food. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sacrifice of praise is because it's a sacrifice. It is not that you got a promotion and whoa, praise and thanksgiving service, you are dancing more than everybody. It is that you didn't even get the job. And I mean, it's the last, that is a do or die now. It's make it or break it. And you still did not get it. And you say, thou art worthy, O Lord. Like Apostle Paul said. Apostle John. Why am I saying Apostle? John said, John the Beloved. To receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thine pleasures they are. And we're created. Satan wants to remind you again. You did not get the job. You did not get the job. You do mighty things. You do glow. What is mighty about not getting the job? You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. You do mighty things. You do more. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. That is why God says, David is a man after my heart. Who will tarry praying, Lord, save my son. Save my child. And the Bible says he refused to eat. He refused to drink. He refused to do anything. He just sat there. And then the child died. Has the child died? Yes, the child is dead. People were expecting that he would not go gaga. The Bible says he stood up, washed up, went to the house and just bowed. You do mighty things. You do glorious. You're a faith. thankful, God. Awesome is your name. Why will he not give him his son to sit on the throne? Do you understand? That he doesn't, though you slay me, Job said. Though you slay me, it didn't matter. You are God all by yourself. You are faithful in trial. So I still got joy even when there's chaos. It don't matter what I'm going through. I keep my joy. I keep my faith. Why? You are God all by yourself. Though I am faithful, you remain faithful. Hallelujah. So when you understand his faithfulness, your response to disappointment, your response will be what? Sacrifice of praise. Because he's faithful even in the disappointment. You can endure anything. Why? All things work together. The good, the bad, the ugly, the rubbish, the beautiful, everything is working together for the good of you who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And in case you are not sure, what can separate me from the love of God? Is it hardship? Is it hunger? Is it trial? Is it the hardship? Is it the hardness? Is it the prayer that is not answered yet? See, nothing can separate me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So what do we do? Take the worship and just worship him in the midst of it all. Let the faithful God do what he knows how to do best. If you understand that many things will only make sense when you are standing before Jesus, you just relax your life and just trust God with it. Hallelujah. What have I said? And what am I saying? Beloved, Jesus did not promise a life free of trials. But he says, be cheerful. Rejoice. I have overcome the world. You are an overcomer. You are more than conquerors. So endure it. Endure the hardness of life. You can't do that if you don't love God. Remember to say to yourself, that is why we started with spend time with the word and prayer. That is how you will know God. And you can know what God is capable of. You know how faithful he is. You can stand on what he said. You can stand on his word no matter what happens. You can love him even though you are dying. Because if you don't love him, who will you love? Glory to God. So Jesus has set the precedent and equipped us, and more than that, is every day interceding on our behalf so that you make it true. So round about, all things are working together for your good. Endure that thing. Amen? Endure it. Know that you are coming out of it. There's an end. Surely there's an end. Surely there's a, whether it be in this life or before the Father, there's an end. And for you, a child of God, you win always. You are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Come on, rise to your feet. Say, I am more than conquerors. I will never compromise my faith. I endure hardship. I endure hardship. I stay with God. In all things, I stay with God. In all things, I stay with God. In all things, I stay with God. Never wavering in faith. Never wavering in faith. Never wavering in faith. In the name of Jesus. Never wavering in faith. Thank you, Lord.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.